This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino was the spot. Good, solid, strong three-hour program lined up today. Anthony Irwin, who covers the Lakers, coming up in 30 minutes. Paul Charchian, Super Bowl props in studio in an hour. Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate coming up in 90. And Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor, his best bets on the Super Bowl so far with props coming up in a few hours. Paulie, this is fun because the closer we get to the Super Bowl, that means that pretty much all the props have dropped or are in the process of dropping right now. I did notice this one. It became a popular thing, I think, offshore right away on Sunday night after the matchup was set, and now a bunch of legal sports books have this up. But as always, shop around. Prices are much different. For example, at DK, they have to have fun with this matchup. To go back to the first time that they played, and Russell Wilson threw that INT at the one-yard line to clinch the game for the Patriots. DK has Seahawks to attempt a pass from on or inside the Pats' one-yard line. That's 7-1. A book out here in Vegas has 4-1. DK also offers to throw a touchdown from on or inside the Pats' one at 16-1. Like, I think it's 7-1. Is that not worth like taking a stab on that? Assuming like, because it's -140 for the shortest touchdown of the game to be under 1.5 yards. And it's happened 5 out of the last 6 years, I think 8 out of 10.
Glenn and Quincy.
Yes, yeah, so, right. That's his favorite bet.
Loves him. Big
so,
game, yeah.
The whole thing is Kenneth Walker is probably up against it, against this really stout rush defense for the Patriots. Isn't there a really nice scenario where the Seahawks get down to the 1 yard line? Like, he's stuffed once or twice, third down and one. They go shotgun, it. Throw it one time to JSN.
It's too bad it's not the Rams. Rams do that every game.
Oh, it'll be automatic.
That's a good idea to put that up. Westgate also put up, will the game be 14-14 at the half? Like the last meeting in the Super Bowl. So some creativity and what I think is some new stuff, although I could be wrong, but a pretty good job by the books here. But that I like that they – I think you had to put that up based on how – it was iconic how it ended. It was a top five Super Bowl moment.
Probably. And nobody in the world wanted Pete Carroll to throw the football there.
That's right.
They wanted Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. And he did not do that.
Uh-huh.
So are we going to get a big passing game here? Now, last week in the wind, in game one, in the snow, the inclement weather, we didn't get anything going on. So this, we expect the weather to be a much nicer day. And the Matthew Stafford game went off the hook with how many yards they combined for. Darnold may 475 combined. That seems feasible. That's not outlandish. That's +121 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to have is basically both guys, 250 each, clear the hell, and then you can climb the ladder. 500 plus combined is +169. Stafford and Darnold went crazy last week. If I don't think this is going to happen, but 600 plus is +710. Will either quarterback throw for 275 plus +123?
Well,
what if the Seahawks get out in front? What if they're just a much better team and they're leading by 3 touchdowns late second quarter?
That's your scenario there. That's what you need. But that, because I think it's going to be low scoring. But if Seattle gets out to a big lead, then all hell could break loose with all these props.
So for a long time this year, you were very good at coming up and finding these props that were available in primetime games. Like, will a certain player have 5 yards each quarter?
Well, right, let me use an example.
Okay, good.
Walker, 5 yards rushing. Come on. $1.25. 25 yards each half, $1.25.
I think he goes under, so I'm not going to get involved.
He can't have 5 yards rushing each quarter?
Don't know about that one.
Like that a lot.
Do you? Okay.
That's good stuff that they have up your right at Caesars. The JSN, the Puka, all that hit last week. And you would think it's not that hard to do and not that difficult. But for a running back who's going to get a lot of carries, I need 5 yards each quarter and 25 yards each half. And I don't have to worry about McVay and a guy abandoning the run here or going to Corum, the backup.
How much pressure is Drake May going to be under from the get-go of this game? Their offensive line, not great. Will Campbell's been getting dominated. The highlights of him, whew, man, not pretty lately. So you would think the Seahawks front, they're going to get plenty of pressure on Drake May the entire time. I thought this was intriguing. The Westgate has rushing yards in the first quarter by May, 6.5. DK has 10-plus at +130. Don't we think young kid, 23, could be the youngest quarterback ever to win a game? Nerves are going to be rocking and rolling the entire time. He likes to scramble anyway. There's a pathway to where the pressure's on. He sees an alley, going to take off 16 yards on the first drive of the game.
I hadn't considered that. Interesting angle. I don't know. That one's tough.
I kind of like that one.
I like the rushing yards over for the game. Was it going to happen right away? Perhaps. Maybe you're onto something there. This has been offered before, and it should have cashed in the Atlanta Super Bowl, where Amendola had him wide open and missed him. But will a quarterback have a reception? Yes is plus 750. Darnold to have a reception is 14-1. You see weird stuff in Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone likes to bet over 2.5 players to throw a pass. Will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown? We've seen that stuff cash. When that usually cashes, too, where there's razzle-dazzle.
Oh, they break out the bag of tricks here.
I mean,
in
that's
game.
Something. Would they actually, New England of all teams, and McDaniels, who's done it, would he do something with May?
Yeah. Well,
Darnold, I can't see. But I could see May maybe with some trick play.
Who could ever forget the Philly special? Now, I don't know where that ranks overall in terms of Super Bowl plays. Like, that did not win Philadelphia the game, but it was a monster play. And the creativity there was an A+.
Are you there with Darnold? Darnold, 30 yards rushing is 10-1.
No, I can't. No.
Won't take off?
No.
Nah. Nothing oblique? Okay.
No, I'll give you a couple of other ones that I found.
All right.
JSN, 4 catches in each half. Each half now. No quarter nonsense that you like to throw at me.
Yeah.
Plus 350.
I need more.
Okay.
I would need more than that.
Fair enough. Will Rashid Shaheed have either 50 yards receiving or 20-plus yards rushing is 2-1?
I saw that. That's at DraftKings. Yeah.
That's intriguing to me.
Not bad.
They dial up the home run, like, opportunities for Shaheed. Like, every time that he's involved, it's either a shot deep from Darnold or there's something crazy around the end where it's like, okay, if there's a gap there, he's going to take off and be gone for, like, 25 yards.
Good luck.
Diggs, 3 catches each half. More manageable than 4, obviously. 4-1.
4-1? No way. No. Absolutely not. I love the Seattle defense. I mean, look at what these guys are priced at, too. I mean, no way he gets that. Have you seen, has this been offered before? Will there be a blocked punt? I don't recall seeing that ever. Westgate has it. Will there be a blocked punt, 12-1? Will there be a blocked field goal plus 750?
I'm going to say it has been.
I don't recall seeing that.
That's
very good.
Yeah, we'll ask Sherman in 90 minutes.
Not a bad
minutes.
Price either, and we had it happen in the AFC game. Plus 750.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know from today. I want to know from Jeff Sherman, again at the Westgate. They take 2,000 a pop, 2 bets at a time from each bettor that comes in to their book last night and then available on the app. And Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor. I want to find out the fringe player that they expect nothing out of in this game. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell. I want, like, JSN under 91.5. Okay, that's, anybody can come up with that idea. I want to know who is the guy where the number is like 20 yards in that range, where he's not part of the game plan. They don't like to throw to him anyway. This defense has an elite defender. He might get like 1 target. That's it. And just hammer everything on that person. Like, could that be an AJ Barner type? Is it? I don't think it's going to be Hunter Henry. I think Henry's in for a nice game here today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do with Helani, the backup running back now for the Seahawks? Because I think there's an angle here.
You can make a case for him, yeah.
You can make it have a good game?
Dump-offs, yeah. I think this is a big dump-off game. It's Henderson, it's Stevenson, it's Helani, it's Walker. A lot of dump-offs because of the pressure in the defensive fronts.
Well, then,
especially how bad New England's O-line has been. And May just getting rid of the ball fast.
Well, then we'll flip it then with the backup running backs because they're the guys that are number 2 in line anyway. For example, your catch that you had early in the week, Travion Henderson right away to go over 1.5 yards. I laddered him a little bit today as well, played some over catches on top of that. Mm-hmm. The numbers are so low, and you can absolutely throw on the Seahawks defense with running backs.
Plus 650, 3 catches, I believe. Is that what you did? Is that what it is?
I think it was 6-1 plus 650, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Helani angle is it's only 9.5 and it's only 1.5 catches. And if they use him, would it be more out of a pass receiving role rather than running the football? I would think that's probably the case again because the Patriots are so good at stopping the opposing team's run.
Well, remember what Kramer did. He called Juszczyk First 49er reception.
Yeah, there was an angle there that happened in the past.
Let's get the confidence going. Let's do something easy, and let's just throw something that's a high percentage and get the nerves out of the way, which it's also priced into, will both quarterbacks complete their first pass, which is the no is even money. Also at Westgate. But the other thing I like is, you
they,
know,
they have, by the way, will Drake May complete his first two passes?
Really? I missed that. That's good. But I also, Will Hill did this forever. William Hill, the book. Especially when Nick Bogdanovich was there. Well, you're doing this every year, and it's like, open it up to the public. Employees, people send stuff in.
Yep.
Great ideas. Will a drive start inside your own five? That's an idea from a customer. You know, will a team use all six timeouts? That's an idea from a ticket writer.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that that you see year in, year out now, and the creativity and mixing up, just say, hey, here's a suggestion box. Open it up, send the email. You come to the counter, your window, whatever, employees. And that's how a lot of this stuff gets going, and it's great.
Well, I know the Westgate put up one from JVT a couple years ago, and that was, will a team go for it on fourth down inside their own territory?
Beautiful. Yes, they have that. Yeah, that's well done. Will Seattle convert a fourth down? Will Seattle convert a fourth down in their own territory? But New England is plus 330, Seattle's plus 375. That's a great prop, especially in today's NFL. Go, go, go.
Which coach is more likely to go for it?
Oh, Vrabel, no doubt.
I would absolutely say 100%.
How many times does McDonald kick field goals fourth and one?
Yes, I feel like McDonald would be punting on fourth and one at like his own 48-yard line every time.
Yeah, now here's one. It's got to be a bigger price. I know it's a Super Bowl, but come on. You can bet the no on this. Will there be a touchdown on fourth down? 3-1 only. That's it. That's a fan. Yeah, that's got to be. Come on. That's got to be.
You're not expecting a lot of points anyway.
No.
More props coming up. Again, more on the Westgate as well, opening up all their props. I'm always a fan of the cross-sport prop offerings, and they did not disappoint. We'll tell you about those coming up next year on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino was a spot. Busy hour coming up in 30 minutes. Jeff Sherman on the program over at the Westgate Superbook. They released their annual props for the Super Bowl late last night. It's a big to-do. A lot of sharp bettors go over there. They get 2,000 a pop. I'll ask them about that whole process. And right now, we kick off the hour with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, longtime friend of the show, Paul Charchi, and he's in town, comes in studio today. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. In town for a very small band playing a concert in town called Midwife. I think there's going to be 400 of us at the concert. It'll be small, but it's a great excuse to come into town and see you guys as well.
Actually, I know the venue, 400 people, can actually fit in there?
Well, maybe not. I'm estimating. I've never been in the Griffin at the end of Fremont Street, but I'm guessing 400.
Don't maybe we not. All like smaller venues for concerts way What's more than best? Anything? It's amazing.
Yeah, like First Ave in Minneapolis.
Even smaller in this case. Yeah. First Ave is 1,500, and it's huge. Hugely popular. You know, the arena shows, I think, are terrible. And it's because...
I concur.
You know, they're not built for sound. They're built for sporting events or whatever, right? So your sound quality is bad. You're so far removed from the band. You can't see what's happening with the guitarist, the fingering of the guitarist, you know? You don't feel connected to the music. And then the other part is, there's something about confined sound, right? Just... small room, confined sound, where you can just get immersed in the sound in a way that an arena just can't duplicate.
Right, your whole body feels it.
Yeah.
The entire time that you're there.
Yes.
For those who have been coming to Las Vegas for a long time, like the old joint at the Hard Rock, and the bands that they would get any band that you could think of. And oh my God, the shows there were the best.
What did it hold before they remodeled it?
Like 2,000?
I saw Guns N' Roses there.
No way.
In a suite. Oh, which you can't.
Yeah, now like, that's as good as it gets, right?
Like 2,000 people, 1,500 people. Yeah. Axl Rose, you and Axl Rose.
I mean, that's to me, that's like the perfect scenario is when there's a big band that has decided they're going to play a smaller venue for whatever reason, and that's your chance to see them. In the Twin Cities right now, you mentioned First Avenue. They're doing a benefit concert at First Avenue for the anti-ICE movement.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen is rumored to be appearing at it.
Wow.
And that would be an opportunity to see Bruce Springsteen in a venue that holds 1,500.
Wow. So that brings me back to my biggest regret in life in terms of not going to see a show.
Yeah.
Prince had a residency at the Rio. The Rio.
Wow.
What does that place hold? 2,000 maybe?
Oh,
and he played it for weekends for like, I never went.
Yep.
Same. I grew up in Minneapolis. Prince played all the time, and he would do a lot of drop shows where he would be, okay, First Avenue, you got anything going tonight? No, we're available. Okay, I'll be there in 5 hours. And, you know, tickets will go on sale, and, you know, if you happen to be there. I only saw him one time in the 30 years we were, you know, in the same city, and he was a popular musician. That was a huge mistake. That was a blunder.
Yeah. Okay, great job out of you last week. Specifically, we'll get into the Seahawks more as a team coming up in about 10 minutes. But some of your breakdowns and your analysis, like the running backs against the Seahawks and how they have done it all year long. And Corum, he was higher than 17-1 at one sports book for 3 catches, and he got it done.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Well, we're going to hit that same angle here in just you know, in fact, you want to go right there right now?
We can set it up here.
Okay.
If that's what you'd like to do. Because Paul was on this too right away to begin the week, and I tailed him and...
So you, because of your breakdown, which was so good, and also I was, I think this is a question the O-line, a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, hello dump-offs, a lot of dump-offs in this game. But your breakdown was so good last week, and those big tickets, there was a plus 950 that cashed on Corum as well. I think it was the yards. But let's start with Henderson. Take it away.
Travion Henderson. So we're going to talk about both of the Patriots running backs. Through the air. This is, I think, the strongest play that we're going to see based on past trends. And you can decide whether or not. You mentioned we highlighted the Rams runners against the Seahawks last week. Seahawks are great defense, except for this one Achilles heel that we've been hitting all playoffs long, and it keeps working. So we're going to keep doing it. They were the worst defense in the league against running back receptions. They allowed the most in the league at 6 per game during the regular season. And then through the playoffs, that trend has continued as well. 2 games ago in the playoffs, Christian McCaffrey was at 5 receptions before he got knocked out of the game at roughly halftime. He was on his way to a big game. Last week, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, 5 touchdowns. Ramondre Stevenson, we're going to talk about in a minute, is potentially sitting on a really big game. But the best trend that I think you're going to find out of the entire weekend is actually Travion Henderson. Over 1/2 reception, so we need 1 to cash a ticket. I would consider laddering that up to 2 or 3 catches.
3 catches is 6-1 at Caesars.
6-1, perfect. That's fantastic odds here. So let's talk it through just for a minute. Seattle gives up so many running back receptions that number 2 runners almost always get paid. We hit on this number last week. We're going to do it again here. This stat. We've done a lot of segments, guys. I don't think we've ever talked about anything happening 18 out of 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. 18 of 19 Seattle opponents have had a second running back get at least 1 catch. 18 of 19. And that's why we're focusing on Travion Henderson. Blake Corum got it done last week. This is a fantastic opportunity for Travion Henderson over receptions.
Beautiful.
Very good. And by the way, his number of yards is so low that you can ladder beginning that plus money at 5 yards.
Jeez.
It was plus 114, I think, when I got it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Henderson has got game-breaking ability and speed. There's a real scenario where he turns a dump-off pass into 1 broken tackle
and
28 yards. I mean, that's right.
Do you know that? I think it was 50. I'll go check right now. I think it was 50-plus yards was 35-1.
Wow. Who has that?
FanDuel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
Can we hit on Ramondre for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
Time? Okay. So let's talk about Ramondre from a receiving standpoint. I want to hit him a couple of different ways. I think he's sitting on 3, 4, maybe 5 catches. Race to 2 receptions. So first player to 2 receptions for Ramondre Stevenson at DraftKings is plus 990. Plus 990. As I mentioned, Seattle allows the most running back receptions during the regular season. They're on the same pace in the playoffs. New England uses this rotation with Henderson. Stevenson, though, is the veteran here. First drive. It's distinctly possible on the first drive. Stevenson's got two receptions. I mean, that is absolutely in the realm of possibility. But what if the Patriots don't start with the ball? Seattle does. We'll have to sweat Jackson Smith and Jigba. But really, nobody else on Seattle is likely to get two receptions on the first drive. So even if it takes a couple of drives, there's a scenario here where Ramondre ends up sitting at two receptions faster than anybody else in this game at plus 990. That's pretty good value. Stevenson averages 19 routes per game since midseason, 20 routes per game in the playoffs. He's running enough routes where he could easily be the first player to two receptions, plus 990.
Okay, so we're going to attack them both this week again, like Kyren Williams and Blake Corum last week.
I think so, too. Can I drill down on Ramondre? Do we still have time?
Yeah, we've got plenty
of time.
Okay,
let's keep going. Here we go. Longest reception for Ramondre Stevenson is 11.5 yards. We're going to take the over on the longest reception for Ramondre. Mitch, Pauly, the running back with the NFL's running back with the longest average distance of target is Ramondre Stevenson. So phrased another way, the Patriots throw farther downfield to Ramondre Stevenson than any team does to any running back.
Beautiful.
They throw downfield to Ramondre Stevenson. So we're talking about 11.5 yards for Ramondre. So I decided to look up what happens when the Patriots throw 12 air yards or more to Ramondre Stevenson. He's number one in the league in targets of 12 or more yards. He's number one in the league on receptions of passes of 12 air yards. And he's number one in yards gained on passes over 12 air yards. And regardless of the distance of the throw, Stevenson had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards this year. And that's, he missed a month of the season. And he still had 10 receptions of 12 or more yards. In theory, against the team that allows the most running back receptions, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to get to that over longest reception of 11.5 yards. Last thing I'll mention, just because I love looking up the stats. Among 56 NFL runners with at least 100 routes, Stevenson fifth in separation rate among running backs.
Damn.
Now you really want to get nuts here.
I really want to get nuts.
Give us a 45-1 shot.
Here is your Ramondre Stevenson. If all of this Ramondre Stevenson talk is starting to resonate with you, think about this spicy variant. And by spicy variant, at 45-1, I really mean probable loser. But nevertheless, we'll call it spicy variant because that's a lot more fun. Okay. Ramondre Stevenson to lead both teams in receiving yards, 45-1. So let's talk it through for just a second. Obviously, Jackson Smith and Jigba is the obvious favorite, and he will probably end up cashing this ticket. But who else would be likely? Well, for Seattle, is it going to be Cooper Kupp, A.J. Barner? Very unlikely. For New England, even Stephon Diggs is only 5 catches a game. He's not. It's Diggs. I mean, they don't really have a go-to anybody.
Right.
You know, maybe Hunter Henry gets in there. I mean, Ramondre is in the conversation here. We've already established Ramondre catches deeper passes. What if he catches a deeper pass, breaks one tackle, Ramondre Stevenson? Now we're looking at an opportunity for him to lead both teams in receiving yards. Get this. Has Ramondre done it this year? Yes, he has. He has led the Patriots in receiving yards. Two different times this year, as recently as three games ago, the wild card round, Ramondre Stevenson led the Patriots in receiving yards. He's finished first or second on his team in receiving yards 5 different times. So maybe the Patriots play lockdown on Jackson Smith and Jigba and just say, look, we're going to take away Jackson Smith and Jigba at all costs. Go beat us with Cooper Kupp, whatever. That opens the door for Ramondre to hit 45-1. He's already had an 88-yard receiving game this year and a 75-yard receiving game this year. 88 yards and 75 yards can cash this ticket. It's a lot of value at 45-1.
Confirmed.
What do you think?
Now let's get nuts.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Why not? Spicy variant.
Some numbers with the spicy variant on top of it. You have a couple of props you like on the Seattle side. And look, tip of the cap, my man. We asked you months ago who's going to win the Super Bowl. You flat out said Seattle. We got to get your thoughts on what you think of the big game now coming up next weekend.
You bet.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. We're live in Vegas, downtown at Circa. Head across town now to the Westgate Superbook. As Jeff Sherman joins the program now, he is VP of Risk Management over there, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Last night was the dropping of all of their annual props for the Super Bowl. They bumped it up a night. Hey, Jeff, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
How do you got for like a lot of the same props that are going to be posted every single year? How do you open up numbers? Is it just based on where they closed last year? Is it something that's pretty close to where it is over the years and past? Like, how does that happen? I'm sure you guys have like 300 props or whatever the number is ready to go at any time.
Yeah, we obviously have reference points, and we refer back to everything that we've done over these years, and Ed saves all these opening numbers, closing numbers, and we really reference sides and totals, and if we can find something we can correlate it to, it helps speed up the process because we have so many derivative markets that if we find something that was close to a 4.5 and a 45.5, then we really line it up that way, and it helps speed it up.
How have you guys adjusted prices over time? For example, the length of the shortest touchdown of the game is always 1.5, but this year juice minus 140, and that's been a popular like winning ticket over the years, 5 out of the last 6, 8 out of the last 10. And a really popular one as well, because it happens more times than the public would think, is will a team score 3 straight times, which cashes quite a bit. So how do you adjust those numbers?
Well, we start by looking at what the totals are on the game, because some of the pricing is based on the total. You know, if you have a very high total and expect more touchdown opportunities, shortest touchdown more likely to come in play, you're going to have even a stronger price on the under. So we relate it to the total and then the experience of it, where we have seen a lot more under support on that prop in recent years. So we thought we were opening it strong at minus 140 based on this total, but we did take sharp play last night under minus 140. Now we're under minus 160.
Okay, very good. Can you share with our audience some other bets that took some sharp play and that were hit?
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, when we open these that first night, you know, the public likes to bet a lot of favorites and overs and things, positive things to happen. And the sharp players are betting unders and nos. So we've seen a lot of that last night. One of them that moved quite a bit, Mac Hollins, under his receiving yards, opened 29.5. Under that, under 27.5, we're currently 25.5. Correlating that, his receptions under 2.5, minus 110, minus 130. Now we're minus 150. So you see it there. And another one, a seldom used player, Jake Bobo, under 0.5 receiving yards, minus 140 bet to under minus 160. So that's the type of bets we tend to see on opening night.
So that's the exact kind of guy I wanted to ask you about, a Bobo type. What about somebody like a backup running back now, second stringer, because there's no Zach Charbonnet? How did they approach it with Helani with the Seahawks?
We got a little bit of over on him, but nothing too much. But we have to factor that in, obviously, with the lack of players from previous games. So we saw some over support for him. You would expect to see some under, but on him, he got some over support last night.
Did you add anything new? I felt block punt is new, or am I wrong?
That is new. Okay. Block punt 11-1.
Thank you.
You know, one of the more popular ones that we've had over the years has been both teams making 33-plus yard field goals. That's really become a staple. And so we did a derivative of that this year and did both teams making 40-plus yard field goals. And so, you know, we've seen these longer field goals made all the time now. We expanded it out, and instead of laying $1.20 with 33-plus, now you get plus 210 with 40-plus. So, you know, each year we try to expand on things like that have been popular.
Very good.
Did I see this also maybe as the first time ever? I believe that you guys have, will Drake May, and it may be up there for Sam Darnold as well, will they complete their first 2 passes of the game?
Yeah, that's a new one too. Okay. We've always done first pass completion, and now we did first 2 pass completions. So, you know, like I mentioned, the easiest thing to do is take what we've done and just expand on that and keep expanding. You know, we started doing that with the quarterbacks, when you put up over under 1.5 touchdown passes. Well, we've gone to over under 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5. So it's really a lot of variations, because when you get up to 500 props, you know, and we're doing less crossboard props now because we don't see as much interest on those.
I love those.
The creativity comes in expanding these and having different pricing models up for them.
do you and the guys, the crew behind the counter, think that's going to be a low-scoring game?
Yeah, I mean, we opened 46.5. It's down to 45.5 on sharp play, and we made the props based on that. And if it is a low-scoring game, we tend to do better on the props on a low-scoring, boring game. So that is what we're hoping for from a booking standpoint.
Do you guys pay attention to what other books are posting beginning on like Sunday night after the two title games are over with and then into Monday morning and Tuesday before you guys come out with your numbers on Wednesday night? Or do you want to just set them all on your own? You probably can't do that because then you might be way off from somebody else. And then obviously those prices are going to get taken immediately.
Oh, we obviously pay attention to it. We make our own numbers and we'll have different numbers that are hung out there. But as we're going through these, we can see some early numbers out there. And if we had something that might have been a 30-yard discrepancy, we can go ahead and hang a 10- or 15-yard discrepancy and still get a bet we're looking for without having to just go blind and go so far out there. You know, one of the things I've tried to tell the guys, if we want to be 10 yards different, we can take two wagers at the 10 yards different rather than going 30 yards down to 20, down to 10. So it's just better for the book if we pay attention to what's out there.
Sure. Was there an example of that this year?
It was just up and down the board, you know, just passing yards by the quarterbacks. You know, we're maybe 10, 15 yards different than some of the places out there. And I know we were a little bit higher on each one, so we didn't need to go as high as we originally made the line, and we relaxed that back, and we still got what we were looking for.
So you're also a week away from the NBA trade deadline, and you have a superstar that's being shopped. How are you monitoring the Giannis news and the odds, and how are you going to play with that and what next Thursday could look like for you?
Yeah, it's so much fun after what we saw with Luka last trade deadline. But, you know, there's obviously some places talked about desired landing spots for him. And the only thing I did at this point was I chopped them each down a little bit. So over the course of the next week, I'll use a little bit of a higher hold percentage on my futures than I do all season. And then I can raise him back if he doesn't get traded or doesn't get traded to that team. But I'm just trying to be a little bit proactive with some possible landing spots for him.
Which team or teams do you think, based on like reading the tea leaves, listening, reading some stuff about this, would you find the most realistic for him if he's in fact dealt by next Thursday?
It sounds like to me Golden State or Miami. You know, the New York would have to do a lot of maneuvering, even though he wants to go there, just because they're limited versus what other teams can offer. And you'd have to think Golden State with their draft pick assets and trying to maximize what they can out of Curry, they're going to try to be as aggressive as they can, especially after losing Butler. And, you know, he's the contract that can match salaries, so he'd have to be included. But I would expect those two at the top. I don't, as much as I would have liked early in the year to see San Antonio, I think it's in their best interest not to be involved with it, because I like the direction and the young, cheaper contracts that they have going for them for the foreseeable future. But, you know, a team like Houston could get involved if they wanted. I don't think they will. I really think it's New York, Miami, and Golden State they're going to make the strongest push for them.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you brought up the Spurs. I know that you have futures on them from months ago. I have one after they were throttling Oklahoma City last month. I think it was 2 days before Christmas at 18-1 to win the West. Watching that last night, I'm just thinking, Jeff, Wemby played 29 minutes. That's it. And that fourth quarter was insane what he did. 5 blocks overall. What is that team going to look like in the playoffs?
Well, the only thing that worries me is just their inexperience at this point.
Sure.
But I know they're going to keep growing over the second half of the season. And, you know, I might be a year premature on them. But the one thing I know is you got to play these things when you see it in front of you, because next year they're going to be less than double digits and you're not going to be able to cash in on that opportunity if things play out. So I did get involved with that. I think them, and it's the same reason I bet Charlotte over their season wins this year. I thought the second half of the season, this young team can grow, and they're starting to do that too. And I'm not saying title or conference odds, but just that type of growth you can see from young teams like San Antonio and Charlotte. And hopefully that inexperience, they can get through that in the regular season. And then you might just have to see some things play out where through injuries. Obviously, there's a lot of calf injuries going through the league this year. It might affect some teams in their path, so that could help them out.
Great stuff. You can follow Jeff on X. He is at Golf Odds, VP Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He was on the Progressive guest line. Yeah, I go back a couple of years ago. I had OKC, huge numbers. Their win total was 40, and they were the one seed. I was a year too early. They got bounced by Dallas. I never bet them the next year, and they won the whole thing.
You should have won that series, though.
I know.
P.J. Washington went into your pocket. I'm going to go. I like Hollins over, don't you now?
Well, you have to.
25 yards now, yeah.
So keep in mind, again, how difficult it's been to run on a healthy Patriots front. There's a path for Kenneth Walker to be limited in rushing yards. If so, some big numbers would pay off. I'll explain why coming up next.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Fun show today. It continues right now. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot coming up in the bottom of the hour at that time. We'll get into tonight's hoops card with some numbers and some angles on it. Best bets at the end of the hour right now. Professional sports bettor Paul Bovey joins us in studio. Good to see you, my man. How are you?
Oh, it's good to see you, man. It's been a good run. The Seattle Seahawks have helped me out quite a bit. I was on your show about a little over a month ago. I was down significantly, but it's been a great comeback, man. I made that up and then some, so... here we are.
Good to hear.
All right, Paul.
Do you like? We'll get into your props that you have, and you have a ton. Do you like the, like initially when the games were done on Sunday? Were you like, man, I like Seattle quite a bit in this spot? Again, you're going to keep riding them, or you think it's going to be a good game?
No, I'm not rushing out to lay 4.5 points or 5 points here. I understand a lot of people are gushing over this defense. I'm not, because they've seen some flaws along the way. You go back to that Tampa Bay game. Baker Mayfield, a near-perfect rating. And then you look at those three Ram games.
Oh, Paul.
No, wait a second. Oh. Let me finish. So you got three games. Now, which is the throwaway game? Which is the aberration? I say it's the one where he threw Stafford did for 130 yards, because in the other two, 84 attempts and 831 yards. That's 10 yards per attempt.
I agree with
NFL.
That. The Seahawks have a Rams problem.
Yeah.
A big-time Rams problem.
Well, they had a Baker offense,
problem.
Though. I mean,
they had a Baker problem.
He said that changed our whole season. We needed that game when they lost 38-35. And he's right. It changed everything
okay.
for
them. Okay. So let's go down the schedule.
Okay.
Very impressive win against Carolina. I'll single that one out. Uh-huh. They held Bryce Young to 54 yards through the air.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Vikings. Max Brosner, 26-0. They caught Phillip Rivers first game back, barely held on. It was Phillip throwing 4 yards in a cloud of dust. I think they had a few breaks along the way.
Well, they did.
But I could see this team being a little bit vulnerable. The schedule shows it. So can the Patriots muster up some magic here and win the game? Perhaps, probably not. But I'm not willing to lay points to find out.
Okay. So they've won 9 in a row, allowed 132 points, 64 against the Rams, 68 in the other 7 games. They have a Ram problem, no doubt. So New England played an easy schedule. It's been well documented. Do you love their defense, or are you going to do the same thing with who they've gone against?
Well, I'm going to throw a little shade at a previous guest.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He was on about a half an hour ago. First of all, Milton Williams is important to the run defense. But Milton Williams is a defensive end. He has 29 tackles. He protects the edge. He stops the run, guards the edge, but he also rushes the passer because he's got 3.5 sacks. The guy that is instrumental in stopping the run is Robert Spillane. Spillane, I believe, has a high ankle sprain. Now, I'm sure Dr. Chow will tell you all about this. There's a big difference between a low ankle sprain and a high ankle sprain. You do not recover from a high ankle sprain in 2 weeks. He didn't look good when he came off the field. I'll tell you something about Spillane. When he was out in the month of December, they faced three teams. The Jets, the Ravens being two of them, and the Bills. James Cook, Derrick Henry, and Breece Hall, 54 carries for 346 yards on the ground, no breakaway runs. That's 6.4 yards per attempt. That's not good. And I will single out the playoffs as the Patriots having gotten a big break. Why? Denver doesn't run the ball. Harvey hasn't been able to run. He was 3 yards per carry after he replaced Dobbins. Then you go back to the previous game. They lost their left tackle, the Texans did. Titus Young went out in the first quarter, and Dalton Schultz went out early also. Three key pieces instrumental in their run scheme. The previous game, which he mentioned, Vidal, 11 rushes, 31 yards. The Chargers couldn't run the football after they lost their offensive lineman, and Hampton came in for one game, one carry, and went out of the game. In fact, Vidal only went over 4 yards per carry in that Raider game. Everything else was 2.6, 2.8, 3.1. So how good is this Patriots run defense? It's going to revolve around Spillane. If Spillane is out, I'm telling you, Walker will probably go over his rushing prop.
Wow, okay, great breakdown. And hence, that is why you are on Kenneth Walker to win the MVP of the Super Bowl?
Well, it's value, okay? I got it before the championship games, and I got it at 14-1. But I still think here, if you feel Spillane is going to be out, 8.5-1, 850? That's insane.
And they will throw to him as well.
Because you got volume there. He had 23 touches in the championship game, 62 snaps. That's what you need. You need touches. You need yardage. So it's a good shot that if Spillane is out, he gets the yards on the ground, he gets the yards through the air.
So how about this? Something to monitor in the next 10 days with the status of Spillane if you want to wait and attack the Walker props, right? Because 74.5 is still out there. Maybe it comes down a little bit, but if he's out, that's when you want to attack him.
So I saw on one of the apps, he opened up at 82.5. I said, this is way too high. He has come down, but I'm getting interested. I may nibble here, okay?
Okay.
Just because, and you could always get out of it. I mean, if you get a good number, that's what this is about.
Of course.
Value, you get the good number. Maybe it goes down to 71.5, and you could always get out. If the plane is declared active, then you get out.
Okay, you were the culprit. You were the guy doing the Helani damage. What's your angle for Helani?
Okay, so Helani played at Boise. 2019-2022, he had 64 receptions, but in 2020, he had an MCL problem. He did not play more than a few games. He only had 7 receptions. So in the other 3 years, 57 receptions. There was only one game this year that Charbonnet did not play until he got injured. That was against New Orleans. In that game, Helani comes in, 10 carries, 27 yards. Darnold only threw 18 passes. 2 of them went to Helani. Completed both, 15 yards. Walker only got one target.
Now, I remember that game. Hold on. Let me hop in for a second. I remember the game. That was over with in the first quarter.
Yeah. Okay. So unless it's a blowout, you got to figure this guy's going to get routes. And he had virtually the same number of routes last week as Kenneth Walker. Walker is now lined between 21.5 to 25.5 in terms of receiving yards. And you got Helani. I picked him up this morning, 9.5 at the Westgate, played him again at 10.5, 1.5 on the receptions, minus $1.20. I played it again at $1.40. I wasn't throw with the $1.40, but I think you have to do a look back here. He had 3 last week. He had 2 in that New Orleans game. So what does that say? He should get at least 2.
Okay, very good. You're attacking the second stringer there or the backup running back for the Seahawks. Are you doing the same thing with the Patriots?
Yes, I am. Okay. So Henderson, 15-5 in these games getting at least one reception. Okay. I laid $1.60 on over a half.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So when you look at the games he did not get the one reception, you go back last week against the Broncos, but all the overs blew up in that game, as we know. But the other games, 38-10 win over Miami, 48-10 win over the Jets, and a 19 and an 18-point win earlier in the season. They were complete blowouts, one of those against Tennessee. Complete blowouts. So, do you feel it's going to be a blowout, that the Patriots are going to blow out Seattle? No, I don't think so. So, minus a half or a half a reception, minus $1.60, I'm there.
Yeah, his yards keep coming down, by the way. Evidently, there's a sports book right now that has a half a yard as its prop, minus 110.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be the same as a half a reception?
Yeah, I guess, but he could also...
Yeah, 1 yard, 2 yard catch?
Could he catch one behind the line of scrimmage? Tackled for... Well, that would be a... Is it a pass in? Is it a lateral? How do they consider that? But could he catch one pass for negative 1 yards?
Anything... Look what happened with Harvey last week. 3 yards. Anything can happen in these games. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, you also like... I'll give you another one. You have plenty of other guys to get into. But Austin Hooper was worth a bet, in your opinion?
Look, Austin Hooper, he got into the game last week. They were interchanging him and Hunter Henry. Austin Hooper's averaged 15 yards per game this year, right? He's lined at, I believe, 9.5. It just makes sense. The one thing that I was able to determine about Seattle, in addition to the running back weakness, there were 7 instances this year where the tight ends were the leading receiver against the Seattle Seahawks. Gunnar Helm, name one. Last game, Jake Tongas, 5 of 59. Dalton Schultz, I think he had 9 and 98. P.J. Hockenson, McBride went for 127. So, you know, I went to Austin Hooper. Okay, and I know you like him. I went to Hunter Henry. I went back to the well, which I oftentimes don't like to do. Nobody owes you anything, and I went down in flames with Henry last week. I had to do it.
I'll explain. Okay, I'll have you explain why you had to do that one more time. And also, what would you do if you ran a book, or what would you like to see? We'll continue with professional sports bettor Paul Bovey coming up next.